This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango, Eric Davis, is going to join me to talk about some of the movies that went under the radar in 2017 and other entertainment news. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
What were your thoughts on Star Wars, The Last Jedi?
You know, I really liked Star Wars, The Last Jedi, and I thought that it was a riskier Star Wars movie, but it was a movie that gave you a lot of sort of answers to questions that you've had, but also more questions. I thought they took some really interesting chances, and I speak about this film, and I try to be careful because I don't like to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it yet. But you know, my philosophy is that in order for Star Wars to evolve, in order for them to make a Star Wars movie every year, they need to take some risks with this property. And in order for them to take those risks, I think Star Wars fans need to let go of taking these films so personally and so seriously. And in order to let go, I think we need to laugh at it, at ourselves. This film, a lot of humor in it, borderline parody humor. And I like those kinds of risks that it took with this brand, you know. And I think that not everyone is as enthusiastic as I am, but I really thought that they gave you a Star Wars film that gave you a lot of Star Wars, but then also looked back at sort of how seriously the audiences have taken these films over the years and sort of made fun of that a little bit. And so I liked how it gave you those different experiences.
Well, I can understand why people take it so seriously. I know for myself, I remember my father sitting me down and saying, "We're watching, you know, Star Wars." It's like, we're doing this, you know, we're making a weekend of this, and I'm going to make you a Warzy. And it's almost like a family tradition for some. So I can understand if some are like going to take it very seriously. I know I do. But one of the things...
Yeah, a lot of people do take it seriously. But I think that's the whole point of the film, is like, why are we taking it too seriously? And should we not take these kinds of things so seriously?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's more of a discussion than I think for putting into a movie. But one of the things I was curious about was the Rotten Tomatoes. They had like a really poor rating for this movie in the beginning, and now it seems to be a little bit evening out. What happened there?
Well, there's two different ratings. The critic score for on Rotten Tomatoes has always been pretty much the same. It's been at 93% fresh for a while. This film went certified fresh in like an hour, which is super fast for a feature film to go certified fresh. I typically don't see movies go certified fresh that fast. And so critics love this film right from the outset. There's also a user rating where any kind of fan, you know, and it's similar to sites like IMDb and Metacritic, where fans can create their own accounts and they can vote for films as well. And so there's been a lot of conversation around that user rating being a low user rating for a Star Wars movie. And I think that that's because this film is a film that takes some risks. It's not like The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens, I think, played it very safe, almost sort of reboot the Star Wars mythology by kind of remaking the first Star Wars movie. And it hit a lot of beats that I think were very familiar and comfortable for Star Wars fans. This does not do that. This kind of takes a left turn in a lot of different areas. And so I can see how some fans may react indifferently to that, and because they're not used to Star Wars doing that. They're used to Star Wars playing it safer. And so I think that's kind of what drove down that user score a little bit more than we've typically seen it. But nevertheless, there's been a lot of great writing from critics about this film, from its inclusion, from it being a more inclusive film, from it being a more female-driven Star Wars movie, maybe the most female-driven Star Wars movie that we've seen. People writing about loss as it pertains to the film, people writing about the risks that it took and why Star Wars needs to take those risks. So I think there's been a lot of really great writing from that critical community when it comes to Star Wars. And it's really nice to see them wrapping their arms around the risk-taking that this brand is doing. And, you know, I think fans should try to do that as well.
You know, speaking of risks, Disney, you know, Star Wars, that's not the only risk they're taking. They also bought Fox. What movie franchises do you see as going to benefit from this purchase?
Well, I definitely think the superheroes are going to benefit from this purchase. You know, Fox is the other studio that owns the most amount of film rights for superheroes like the X-Men, Deadpool, Fantastic Four. And so I really see what's going to happen now. And it's going to probably take about 2 years for it to really start gelling and for announcements to be made and for casts to be assembled. But what this means is that Marvel Studios, who fall under Disney, who make the Avengers movies and the Iron Man and Captain America and all that stuff, they can now make X-Men movies. They can make Fantastic Four movies. They can have a movie where the Avengers meet the X-Men and team up to fight a bad guy. So I think that is really exciting for people, because once we get past Avengers 4, which will come out in 2019, I think a lot of people are looking at that next chapter as like, okay, so how is Marvel Studios going to up the ante? How are you going to change the game, so to speak, you know, now that we're 20 movies into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And I think this is exactly how they're going to change the game. They're going to bring X-Men into their fold, Fantastic Four into their fold, maybe reboot the X-Men creative game, similar to what they just did with Spider-Man Homecoming. And it's all of these characters can kind of play in the same sandbox. And so when I look at that deal from a movie fan perspective, that is the most exciting aspect of it, is those superhero movies now that we can look forward to post-2019 that could potentially include Spider-Man with the Fantastic Four or Wolverine and Captain America. And so that kind of stuff is really exciting.
That is so true. They already did Civil War, Infinity Wars, and I'll be honest with you, for me growing up reading comic books, one of the biggest ones was Onslaught. And I'm really looking forward to if Disney will do that one after Avenger 4 comes out, because that has X-Men. I mean, that has the entire Marvel universe right there in Onslaught Wars. So that's going to be kind of cool if they decide to do that one.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, Marvel Studios, and I've talked to their president, Kevin Feige, a lot, and he says they always look to the comics. And they, while they won't exactly adapt storylines from the comics to a T, they will always borrow stuff from the comics. And so while that's certainly a possibility, you know, like Infinity War and Civil War, you know, from the comics, but they put twists on them. So they changed the stories, they changed the characters, they changed the stakes, but they still have that through line that's familiar to people who read about those stories in the comics.
I'm glad you're talking about change, because I couldn't help but think of Star Trek. One of the biggest changes is they want to have Quentin Tarantino as the director. You know, when I think of him as a director, I think of Kill Bill and All the Blood. Is that what we can expect?
Well, I know he said that he wants it to be R-rated, that he will not be involved in a Star Trek movie unless it is R-rated.
Wow.
And the studio very wisely said, sure, let's do it. You know, I think the studio is at a point with Star Trek where the last Star Trek movie, you know, I really enjoyed it. It may have been my favorite of the three new ones that they made, but Star Trek as a brand is just not popping on the big screen. You know, no matter how exciting and thrilling those movies are, it's just not carrying the same, I guess, emotional, nostalgic weight that Star Wars is carrying right now. And so what do? You know, you want more Star Trek movies, but what do you do? And I think reinventing the brand in a way that Tarantino wants, an R-rated Star Trek, you know, that's immediately going to separate it from the other big franchises. It's immediately going to separate it from Star Wars, and it's going to allow the property to do things that it has literally never done. We have never seen a Star Trek story on TV or on the big screen that is in the R-rated realm. And so while it's risky, I think that those kinds of risks, if there's any time to take them, right now is the time, especially if you look at films like Deadpool and Logan, which sort of doubled down on their R rating despite the fact that they're big superhero movies, and they saw a lot of rewards from that. And so right now, I think, of all of the times in the last decade, now is the time to double down on R-rated movies and to take a risk with some of these bigger properties with an R rating and tell, you know, riskier stories, more dangerous stories, that's the kind of stories that Quentin Tarantino wants to tell. But, you know, his pitch, he pitched them a Star Trek movie. They went for it right away. And so what he told them must have been exciting enough for them to be interested. Whether or not he will direct it, that is still left to be seen. I know that he's putting together a writer's group. He may not even write the movie. So we don't know yet how much of his involvement we're going to see with this film. But nevertheless, I think it's exciting. I am not a Loyal Trek fan. I've seen Loyal Trek fans kind of get a little bit iffy on R-rated and going into territory that it's never gone in. But for me, as not a loyal Star Trek fan, but somebody who likes Star Trek stories, yeah, I'm all for it.
You know, is this going to be like a continuation of J.J. Abrams' Star Trek world, or is this going to be like a brand new reboot?
They have not said yet, so we don't know. I'm just as curious to know about that as you are. You know, I don't know if it'll be a reboot. I don't know if J.J. Abrams' characters will be there. I think it would be smarter not to make it a continuation of the J.J. Abrams characters, because especially with the R rating, you don't want to all of a sudden take these characters that we've been with for three movies and throw them into a completely different experience that we're not used to seeing, that doesn't really tonally match up with the adventures that they've already been on. So I think it would be great if they got away from the Captain Kirk and the Spock and they told a really cool Star Trek story with new characters that was an R-rated Star Trek story that is maybe has some connective tissue to some of the stories that we're already familiar with your Kirks and Spocks and stuff, but is its own separate thing. So that's what I would be down for. We don't have the specifics of what that story is yet, so I can't say.
Yeah, you know, I can't help but put in a little fan fiction to it, and I'm hoping that, and I know it's not going to happen, but I would like to see a Star Trek The Next Generation movie that's R-rated. I love Picard the most, but who knows? Maybe that'll happen a couple years from now if this one works out well.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen, and a lot of those guys, you know, they're still very willing and able to go for it.
You know, there's a movie that I heard was coming out and then it's not coming out. I don't know anymore. It's the Queen biopic, and Sacha Cohen was picked to play Freddie Mercury. And I thought that was really good. That was a good casting call, but he dropped out. Are they even going to do the movie now, or how's that working out?
Yeah, they are still doing the movie. He is not doing it now. They have the guy from Mr. Robot, Rami Malek.
Yes, I know that guy.
He's going to be playing Freddie Mercury. And Bryan Singer was directing the film, but just recently dropped off from directing it. And so there's a new director on there now. And it's still very much being made in production. I believe it comes out next year, towards the end of the year. And so, yeah, that's still very much a film that we're going to get.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know, there's another movie I wanted to watch was Gotti. It was supposed to come out like in December, and it never did. What happened there?
You know, I don't know. Some of these films, they get delayed, you know, and so that's most likely what happened with that film. Is it just got delayed? It got pushed over into the next year, and it just that's just what happens a lot. Especially as we get to the end of the year, this is a time when a lot of studios put out the films that they really feel like are going to be awards contenders. And sometimes we'll get films that are on the bubble and they're just not sure. And once they kind of see what the season and how it's shaping up, they say, you know what, We're just going to get out of this, and we're going to move to another time and another release date. And so that is likely what happened with that film. 2018, John Travolta. So right now it's in 2018. We just don't have the date yet.
Yeah, it looks really
interesting,
good.
Though. It's got Travolta and Kelly Preston, who are a real-life married couple, playing John Gotti Sr. and Victoria Gotti, his daughter.
And it looks...
Victoria, the wife.
It looks incredible. And it was one of the movies I really was looking forward to in December. And when I heard it got pushed back, and I was kind of worried. Was it like some kind of sex scandal? I was like, and then we're never going to see it. I was really scared.
No. I think it just got pushed back.
Speaking of like movies that I didn't get a chance to see and I really want to, in the year 2017, is there any movies that you feel maybe didn't get enough press, didn't get enough love, and people should go see?
Movies that didn't get enough love. You know, War for the Planet of the Apes is a film that I think is just brilliant. And it came out in the summertime, but it was sandwiched in between a lot of other films. And, you know, I just thought it was such a really cool film. and I really liked it. There was also a sequel to Trainspotting. I don't know if you remember Trainspotting from like long ago.
Yeah.
The Danny Boyle, Ewan McGregor movie based on the book. They made a sequel to that. I think it's just basically called Trainspotting 2. But it's really good, and especially if you've seen the original Trainspotting and you know, have a familiarity with the characters and what the story was, this follow-up is just a really fascinating follow-up, and I think it's one of the most underrated films of the year, and it's a film that nobody's talking about right now, but it's going to wind up on my top 10 of the year list, because I just thought it was really good. Jordan Peele's Get Out, I know is a film that a lot of people are still talking about, but still kind of came out in January or February of this year, and if you haven't seen that film yet, I thought that was a really fascinating kind of horror movie that's very topical, and kind of horror film I've never seen before, and so I thought that was a really good film as well. Blade Runner 2049 I was a big fan of as well, and that didn't exactly knock the socks off the box office, but in terms of the more visually arresting films of the year, I thought that was just was beautiful to watch.
Trainspotting 2. All the other movies I knew about, but not Trainspotting 2. You're right, that went under the radar.
It did, and it's probably the most under the radar movie that I really really enjoyed this year.
Did it have the original cast, or this is brand new people?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
Yeah, no, the whole original cast is back years later. And they kind of pick up where they left off, you know, well, not technically, not literally, but, you know, in terms of some of the character relationships and just a really interesting, really, really good film, really solid film. And Danny Boyle returns, to direct it. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm going to have to go watch that. My sister, she was a big fan of Trainspotting, and I remember having to watch it. And I didn't really understand what was going on because I was young. But I remember the baby scene where he's detoxing and the baby's on the roof or the ceiling. It was really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some weird stuff in this film, too.
Oh.
But totally worth seeing. Yeah, yeah. It's got the weirdness. It's got the cool soundtrack. And, you know, it's very much... You know, of all these sequels that we see all these years later, that one I feel like it really got it right. It really knew its characters. It really thought about where its characters would be some odd years later. And then it found a story to weave them all back together again. And it was, and it's emotional at the end. And it's sort of about, you know, finding those old friendships and how much do you hold on and how much do you just say, look, it's time to let go. And I just thought it was really interesting in that respect.
Oh, that's a movie I'm going to have to pick up. For January, what movies can we expect to come out? I know there's one my nephew wanted to see was Paddington 2. And I was, oh, my God. How good is this?
The first Paddington is pretty good, though.
That's what he said.
The first Paddington is actually a pretty good movie. And, you know, and for moms and dads that are listening, I will say that, you know, February and March, or January, February, March, not a lot of kids' movies. Paddington 2, I believe, is like the only kids' movie that's coming out in January. And then we have like another one, like Sherlock Gnomes, coming out after that in like February and March. And like that's the only family movie coming out that month, too. And so not a lot for kids. But the first Paddington is a really sweet movie, especially if your kids have seen that one. I think Paddington 2 is also a very sweet movie that the kids will like. And so, you know, if you're, I know a lot of people, a lot of families are going to get through the holidays. They're going to be like, that's it. We've seen all the family movies that they've thrown out at us. Now what do we have? You know, Paddington 2 will be there. There'll also be a horror movie, another Insidious movie. I think it's like the fourth Insidious movie that's coming out in early January too. Not a ton, you know. A lot of what I see January, especially those first couple of weeks, a lot of these awards contenders, a lot of the movies that are probably going to be nominated for Best Picture, they start expanding wide to a lot of different markets. And so, what I would recommend saving for January is movies like Steven Spielberg's The Post. Which I think is going to get a lot of nominations. I really enjoyed it. Or Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread. Or Aaron Sorkin's Molly's Game. These are all movies that are going to be expanding nationwide in early January that I really adore. I think they're great movies. All of them are going to be nominated for various categories at the Oscars. And they are at the Golden Globes. So that's what I would recommend.
There's one movie, and I can't remember the name. It has Dakota Fanning in it, and she's trying to get her screenplay to, I think, Los Angeles, or it's somewhere in California. Do you know the name of that movie?
Oh, the Dakota Fanning. Yeah, there's a...
Is it Please Stand?
Yeah, it's Please Stand By.
Oh, there you go. Please Stand By. Yeah, I think that's it. And it looks so cute. But is that one limited release?
It will likely be a limited release. I believe so. It's a kind of a smaller movie. It's coming out January 26th. But it might be wide. You know, as I look at some of the details, it's not showing a limited release. So that may be a wide release. But yeah, I really like Dakota Fanning. I think she's like one of my favorite sort of, it's hard to say she's an up-and-coming actress because she's done a lot right now, but I'm always fascinated by the roles that she takes on. And her sister, too, Elle Fanning, I'm a big fan of. I just think that whole Fanning family is really, really, really talented. And so both Dakota and Elle, I will see them in whatever they are in. Also, Toni Collette, Alice Eve in this film as well.
Yeah, and it looked really interesting. I don't know how to take it yet, but I definitely like the trailer, and I want to go see it. And you're right, I am a semi-fan of the Fannings because they do take some interesting risks in what they appear in. So it's kind of interesting what they're going to do, because it's almost like, they always are very careful about what they go into. So it's kind of like quality over quantity.
Yeah, I agree. And they just do different roles, and they're always putting themselves in different circumstances. Elle Fanning was in The Beguiled, which is another, I would say, underrated film that came out this year by Sofia Coppola. And Nicole Kidman is in that film, and Elle, and she's really great in that film, too, Elle Fanning. And then she was in another film last year with Annette Bening that I just adore. And the name is escaping me. If you give me one second to think about it, it was 20th Century Women. If you missed that last year, I thought it was really good. Elle Fanning is also in a Mary Shelley movie that's coming out, I believe, in 2018.
Well, thanks so much for joining me. For people listening, where can they find you at, Eric?
You could find me, hop, skipping, and jumping over at Fandango. Also on Twitter, at Eric with a K. Davis. If you want to follow my exploits every day, you'll get a lot of movie nerd stuff from me on Twitter. So definitely follow me there.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.